Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
I don't know. If she's there, she's there. Okay, Margaret, go ahead.
Yes, Phil, can you hear me?
I can hear you fine.
Yes, I'm right now. I'm out in front of the Beverly Center, and I wanted to pull over and talk to you about what you had said about the anthrax antidotes that a lot of people in Hollywood are looking for.
Yeah. And what are you doing? You're at a payphone?
Yes.
You don't have a cell phone?
No, I do not have a cell phone. Frank has my cell phone. But more to the point, I wanted to know what... I was very offended by what you said.
Yeah, well, you were offended by me saying, what are movie stars and Hollywood people running around trying to get an anthrax antidote for? What makes them so special?
You know, Phil, the investment in terms of money in our actor and in our actress is upwards of billions of dollars.
Well, are you telling me that they're more entitled to an anthrax antidote than the rest of us?
No, I don't think I'm saying they're more entitled. I think it makes sense economically that Brad Pitt, Jennifer Aniston... Brad Pitt makes $40 million. He made $40 million last year.
So what?
So what? Do you know that he recycles that money back into the economy? Do you know that Jennifer Aniston recycles her money back into the economy? What do you think happens if Brad Pitt comes down with anthrax, if a bioterrorist attack takes place on one of our studios, and Jennifer Aniston suddenly has... If there's a yeast infection she can't get rid of, I don't know. I'm simply asking...
Well, so what? $40 million a year...
That is a lot of money. How much money do you spend to watch your plumber?
Come on, Margaret.
How much money did you spend last weekend to watch your plumber fix a sprinkler head?
I didn't spend any money last weekend to watch my plumber fix a sprinkler head.
How much money did you spend last weekend watching Moby?
I didn't watch any... I don't watch Moby, okay?
You don't know who Moby is, do you?
Yeah, I know who he is. I don't watch that cat.
Boy, you're really... Where have you been?
Oh, forget it, will you? Where have I been?
The point is that we've got an awful lot of our fine young actors and actresses. They need the antidote. The actor needs to be protected. The actress needs to be protected. And
what about the rest of us is what I'm trying to say. What are these knuckleheads... going around trying to get their anthrax antidote, whoever these people are. I don't even want to indict actors and actresses. I don't know who they are. What I'm saying is, and forget about the rest of us. I don't even believe that there's a credible threat in terms of bioterrorism. But why, what are you saying?
What are you saying?
I just said they were silly.
Well, when it comes to our actor and actress, I don't think it's silly. Jennifer Aniston spends a lot of money in the economy.
Okay, she spends a lot of money in the economy.
Sterling silver, Tampax boxes, anything that is unusual in terms of expense. What are you going to do? And aren't you going to feel like the asshole? If Al Pacino has rabies, if Angela Lansbury on stage in New York starts bleeding into her shorts... All of these things...
Why are you saying these things? Are you saying these things to simply scare people? Are you...
No, I am saying these things to let people know how valuable the actor or the actress are. And if they need the anthrax antidote, if they need to get to the head of the line, I think they should. That is the point I'm trying to make. And I'll make that point next week at the Hollywood Writers Convention, of which I'm going to be the chair. Now,
the actor and actress should get to the front of the line when it comes to the anthrax antidote. Boy, that's a comment for the ages. That is unbelievable.
You start filming a $100 million budget film. You watch Ben Affleck and Will Smith begin convulsing. Then you tell me what you want to do.
What the hell are you talking about, Will Smith and Ben Affleck convulsing?
If a bioterrorist attack were to take place... And Ben Affleck and Will Smith are your two prime stars, and they begin filling their shorts with blood and convulsing.
Oh, will you stop it with that?
That's what we're looking at.
Please. It's frightening to me.
You better believe it's frightening.
Okay, if I saw my own family coming down with those symptoms, if I saw myself coming down with those symptoms, guess who's going to the front of the line?
You.
You got that right. Me and them. And I would say very respectfully, excuse me, Ms. Aniston, you won't mind if I get my anthrax antidote ahead of you. I got four kids. All you got's your husband.
All you got is your $40 million a year husband.
You know, you're hitting this money thing hard, and I know why. You're saying...
Why? Because you don't like people with money?
No, you're... No, it has nothing to do with that.
Then why?
You're saying the guy makes so much money, he recycles a lot of bread back into the economy, and this comment about Al Pacino coming down with rabies is beyond, you know, it's just beyond the pale.
Well, I'll tell you something, Phil, I don't know what bioterrorism is. I don't know. But the actor is America's investment. Get in line for your vaccine behind our actor and actress. Get them the antidote. Then we can talk about you.
I don't believe you. What if they were in line in front of your son?
My son's an actor.
Your son, Jason J. Delmonico? Okay, yeah, technically he's an actor. What if he wasn't?
I don't deal in hypotheticals.
Okay, let me tell you something. You get in line in front of my family because your son, Jason J. Delmonico, is an actor, and therefore he needs to get the anthrax antidote before anybody else. There's going to be trouble.
You can threaten me all you want, but I'm a mother. And I think you've seen the way mothers and how they react to nature. Don't get between a dog and his meat. Don't, I won't back down. I'm like a mother skunk out of the den, hearing footsteps in a vacant lot.
Whatever that means. 1-800-449-8686.
You know what it means.
Yeah, 1-800-449-8686. I was simply commenting that the movie, I don't know who they are, the Hollywood crowd, there's some of them running around trying to get their anthrax antidotes, okay? And what do you mean, sterling silver Tampax boxes?
I'm saying the recirculation of money. The only thing Jennifer Aniston doesn't buy, obviously, are brassieres. But I would...
Okay, forget that, all right? We're talking about the millions of dollars made by these people and the fact that you think they're entitled to the anthrax vaccine in front of everybody else.
You know something, Phil? I don't mean to sound heartless.
Well, you do.
I'm simply trying to articulate a point about how valuable they are to us as our spokespeople, as the people we look up to. The fact that so many of them are disease-free, I think it would be a devastating blow to the American economy and to the American psyche to suddenly see open running sores on Haley Joel Osment's face, to suddenly see a Brad Pitt spitting up blood.
Come on!
I'm saying it would...
Yeah, it would be a real bad thing to our psyche. It would be a bad thing to our psyche if I saw my neighbors, if that happened to them. Stella, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Stella.
Hi. I got a point with this woman who's talking to you.
Stella. This is Margaret.
Hi, Margaret. Margaret, I'm sorry, but I don't think that a movie star is more important. Their life is more important than mine. And you're talking about them putting money into the economy. I just bought a new van.
Stella, I want to give you a hypothetical. You're the director of a $100 million film. The main players are Julia Roberts and Brad Pitt. Let's say it's The Mexican, the most recent bomb. Most recent film that they did, all right?
Okay.
Suddenly, Julia Roberts has an open running sore on her lip. That spreads, turns into a pustule that explodes.
Oh, will you please?
What do you do? Do you keep filming? Do you keep filming?
Well, I'm going to tell you something. Are they going to keep filming if there's not people around to watch their films? The guy says, my life is just as important as their life.
Well, there'll always be people to watch films. It's something that we really can't stop doing.
No, let's explore that.
Stella, you're saying about the chemical warfare thing.
Stella said something very, very important. What if there was nobody around to watch the movies? What if the chemical, biochemical... Well, you go ahead, Stella.
Yeah, let her say it, because you're obviously screwing it up.
Well,
no,
all right.
He's not screwing nothing up.
Well, I can't understand a word he's saying. It's
all right, okay. If you're going to let me
talk... If we lost our wonderful actors, what would the world be like?
Can I talk?
Pus-ridden place.
Go ahead, Stella. Go talk.
Okay. If they brought over and did the chemical thing to
us... Uh-huh.
Okay. You're saying that the movie store should have the antidote before we should.
I believe so because
let me talk.
Into our economy and the sterling silver Tampax. But
will you forget that?
Will you let me talk? Anyways, if we're not around to watch these movie stars because we died from this chemical thing that they sent over here, and the movie stars are all safe, who's going to be around to watch them?
The people will be, and you're going to laugh at this, but the other movie stars can watch each other's movies. How am I sick?
You are sick.
Wait a minute.
Because the movie stars are not the only people that walk the planet.
No, they're
not the only ones who spend money.
They can subsidize each other because
they have
the money.
Just like I said, I just bought a brand new van right after all this happened. I did something for the economy. Just
I gotta ask Margaret a question. How do you mean the movie stars are going to subsidize each other?
Think of it, will you please? Brad Pitt makes $40 million a year. So let's say he's the only one left to go see a Julia Roberts movie. She charges him $2 million to see her movie. He gives...
Great.
You know, you're really, really rude.
I'm sorry.
You're really, really rude.
I'm sorry.
$2 million to see her movie, and then what does she do?
Then he charges her $2 million to see his movie. Oh. Jennifer's Tampax box costs two times as much as your new van.
What is with a Tampax box?
Yeah, whatever the sterling silver...
Phil, I'm telling you. Brad Pitt's underwear costs more than your car.
Oh, give me a break.
It does.
How do you know that? Are you a movie star?
All right, look, Stella.
Well, you know something? I've interviewed them. I've been around them. I've partied with
them. Do you know how much
them.
They pay for their underwear?
I feel I know them.
Do you know how much they pay for their underwear?
You know what? As a reporter, yes, I do find myself in their bedrooms, and I do find myself going through the drawers.
Oh, like a paparazzi, huh?
I do find myself going through the drawers in their bureaus, yes.
Well, that's
how dare you, God, going through the... Boy, that must be the most pathetic thing.
I am a reporter.
Nosing through someone's dirty hamper. 1-800-449-8686. Margaret Gray. You know who ought to go to the front of the line for the anthrax antidote? The movie stars, she says, because they pump so much money into the economy. This is The Phil Hendry Show.
This is the Phil Hendry Show.
I don't understand. You're telling me you go to a film, and in that film, Julia Roberts is performing.
Right.
And she has contracted anthrax, which among its many symptoms creates a severe rectal itch. And so there's Julia Roberts for all the world and God to see with her finger right up her crack.
No. Wait a minute, man. There's no director in hell that's going to keep that scene in. Okay?
No, I know that, but in the dailies, in the rushes, when the crew is sitting around looking at it, and there she is with her finger up her rear end, don't you think that would have some kind of an impact on her career?
I don't see why not. They'll just pay $2 million to see her movie, and then she'll pay $2 million to see there, and everybody will hire everybody else.
And bleeding from the eyes.
Oh, stop with the bleeding. You don't know anything about what you're talking about. You're coming up with a lot of phony baloney symptoms of diseases. Jennifer, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi, how
you
are
want
you?
To do some reading, Phil?
I'll do some reading. I don't think you've done any reading.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Margaret, I just want to let you know how bad you contradicted yourself earlier. Phil tried to give you a hypothetical situation, and you told him you did not deal with hypotheticals. And then when Stella called, you said, let me give you a hypothetical situation.
Well, whatever. Is that the basis
whatever.
Of the phone call? You know something?
I think you need to be quiet. This is my dime, okay?
Your dime.
You're totally contradicting yourself,
It's a 1-800 number, darling. There is no
okay,
dime.
Okay, I still get charged on my cell phone for 800 numbers. Thank you.
Oh, well,
okay.
That's a bad plan. Maybe you should get a better plan.
Anyway.
You're the one at a phone booth.
Because I wanted to defend our actor.
Well, our actor is not as precious as every individual in this country. I love actors just as much as the next person. But our community would not be totally destroyed if the actors were bleeding from the eyes or blood dropping out of their butt. Okay? It's going to be just as devastating if my next-door neighbor has that crap happen while they're outside playing with my children.
Your children are precious to you. My children are precious to me.
But well, don't get on the
I'm
air
gonna
and
say
something.
I'm going to say something you won't agree with. I would be happy to sacrifice at least part of my son's health so I don't have to be put through the disgusting spectacle of Julia. I am so upset, Phil.
Oh,
All right, okay, psycho.
If you're going to sacrifice your child's health for some actor that you don't even know,
that is
just psycho. You are nuts. I'm sorry. You do not your children. You don't sacrifice your children for nothing.
So in other words,
if you think our children are the most precious things in this world, we can grow new actors.
So you want to be put through the spectacle of Julia Roberts with a finger shoved up her crack. Is that it?
I don't care. It's going to be a lot worse to see my child like that.
They're not going to keep...
Okay?
They're not going to keep...
That's Julia Roberts' problem. She's not my problem. My problem is my children. It is our responsibility to rebuild this nation with our children.
What director in his right mind would leave
Thank
that
you.
Scene in?
And well, if this doesn't happen like that, Julia Roberts would not be filming a movie while something like that was happening to her.
With her hips thrust forward and her finger...
Excuse me, have you experienced the anthrax virus personally? That you know these symptoms so well?
My understanding is it creates a vaginal itch.
Okay, we don't need to have all of that.
I think your vaginal itch may come from something else, honey.
How dare you?
I mean, please.
How dare you?
How dare you get on the air and act like a stupid idiot? Please.
You know...
You need to take your quarter out of the machine and go somewhere else. I mean, give me a break. If you're going to sacrifice our children... For some actors
in other words, you would not even consider sacrificing your child if the next citizen came
If I am standing in line
not
for an
all.
Antidote, if I am standing in line for an antidote, I am not going to let Julia Roberts, Jennifer Aniston, Brad Pitt, I'm not going to let nobody cut in line. I am sorry. Not if my money is just as good as theirs. Everybody else in this world has just as much money and some more than these actors.
Jennifer, no one wants to see Julia Roberts.
Oh, please.
Drag her ass across a driveway like a dog.
Well, that's about as...
I don't want to see my children doing that either.
And the idea that you'd sacrifice your child's life if...
Thank you.
You know...
If we could have another AI...
Oh, if we could have another AI, yes.
You need to get a life and get out of the movies.
I live in the movies.
I mean...
I live in the... I know many
There's a real life out here. There's this thing called life going on outside of the movies.
Many of them are my dear friends.
Well, you better tell your dear friends that they get in line for the anthrax fan. Let's keep in mind this, Jennifer. None of these actors or actresses that we're talking about have ever said anything about wanting anthrax vaccine. You know that.
Well, how do you know? You don't know any of them. I do.
You don't know Brad
Pitt and Jennifer. Margaret, I guarantee you these actors and actresses would not expect to go to the front of the line. And if they do, they need their asses kicked out.
And you know something else? Julia Roberts would be ashamed to hear you talking dragging her rear end across the driveway like a dog.
And all these people would be ashamed for you even mentioning their name like that.
I am simply trying to protect her life.
You're making her sound like an idiot. Drag her ass on the driveway like a
dog. You're making yourself sound like an idiot.
That vaginal itch crack, I noted that. Don't worry about it.
Well, you note it all day long, honey, because, you know, your morals are right down the toilet.
Oh man! If I had business in Houston,
please.
Think I'm chicken, huh?
Okay, you know, grow up, will you?
Yeah.
You laughing at? Don't laugh at me.
Well, Phil Henry,
thank you for your call, man. I appreciate it.
You allow people to come on the air. You allow them to ridicule me. You allow them to...
You allow them nothing. You got rectal itch and every other thing. Anthrax is a deadly disease. Here is Cindy on the Phil Henry Show. Cindy? Or no other calls, Mike? Okay, Cindy, go ahead.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing?
Fine.
First of all, I've been listening to you for a while.
I'll put Julia Roberts in front of even the man who makes the vaccine.
First of all, I've
been listening to this, and I've come to realize that I think this is probably all a put-on because she can't honestly be for real.
You know something? You can let
and
children
die. And for somebody
die,
who has so much money, hey, Margaret,
like
for somebody for who,
want...
somebody has so much money, as you say
you do, why
are you stopping on the side of the road to use a payphone instead of your own cell phone?
My husband has my cell phone, and I always
But you can't afford two cell phones?
Number two, if you think the death of children is funny, and you think that's something to joke about, that's your sickness.
No, you know what, Margaret? You're the joke here.
I think Bin Laden lobbed a sick joke virus on you.
I think you're the joke, and I think you need to take... Why are you even giving her airtime,
Bill?
Well,
she's talking about the... First of all, there was a rumor here in Los Angeles that a lot in the Hollywood community were looking for anthrax vaccine, anthrax antidote, which I don't necessarily believe.
But you give me a half hour of airtime, and then you let little women like this come on and insult me.
First of all, I've never been more hurt
in my life. And now I'm bleeding from my rear end.
Okay, that's fine. Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Well, too bad about those hijackers, you know. They thought they were going to go to heaven, and they're just doing a slow roast in hell right now. See, that's the thing. It must be a shock. You know, it must come as just a brutal shock. They thought they were going to be wined and dined by, what is it, seven virgins? And now they're on a spit cooking in hell. And I bet you the first thought is, we better get back up to earth and warn all the other jihad warriors that it ain't what they think it is. But no, there's no way. They can't do it. They can't, man. All those great jihad warriors, all those guys think that they're going to be laying on a chaise, being fed grapes by seven Vestal virgins and Procol Harum II. And instead, they are being sautéed right down there on the on Satan's grill. I'll bet you they were the most surprised dudes in the world that morning, man. They put that they laid that whole thing on innocent people, and they figured that God would be welcoming them with open arms, and now they're just roasting. Like roasting, man. Just cooking. And all those guys, all of them, all those jihad cats, whatever the hell they're called, I don't even know. Who knows? Who cares? It ain't religion. It ain't religion. It's sociopathic baloney behavior. All those guys, I mean, it's just like a long line of cigarette butts you're throwing into a fire. Don't you wish that there was some way that you could sort of reach out from the grave and warn people about things? But whatever. I mean, it doesn't make any difference to me. I don't care. They can cook, man. Let them cook, baby. The 41st Airborne, I think it's the 41st Airborne, which is the United States Army, have a they have a advertising poster, and it says something along the lines of helping the enemy die for his country for the past 40 years. You know, day or night. Open day or night. That's what it is. 41st Airborne, United States Army, helping the enemy die for their country, open day or night. Give us a call. I dubbed off, I didn't dub off, it's a term we use in radios. I mean, I copied off something. This is from a general, Barry McCaffrey. He's a retired Army general. He was a Clinton administration drug czar. He had an online exchange last month that those against the United States in its war on terrorism would be killed suddenly in significant numbers and without warning. Now, General McCaffrey commanded the 24th Mechanized Infantry Division in the Persian Gulf War, and he offered his blunt assessment on the mission and the strategy confronting the United States and its allies in an email exchange with a cadet at West Point. The exchange took place September 19th, a little more than a week after the deadliest terror attacks on U.S. soil. McCaffrey and others have since distributed the email widely. He told CNN he is not displeased the exchange became public because he is eager to articulate the likely multifaceted course of action. He identified multiple objectives to increase domestic security, build a strong coalition, and finally, take the gloves off and use integrated military power to find, fix, and destroy terrorist organizations. We are going to disrupt these people through preemptive attack. We will deceive them. We will run psyops on them. At selected points and times, they will be killed suddenly in significant numbers and without warning. Tomahawk missiles, 2,000-pound laser-guided weapons dropped from B-2s or F-22s at very high altitude, remote control, booby traps, blackmail, and at places, small groups of soldiers or SEALs will appear in total darkness, blow down the doors, and kill them at close range with automatic weapons and hand grenades. Isn't this fun to hear? It's fun for me to read it. I understand that war is a horrible thing. I understand that death and mayhem is a horrible thing. I'm just sort of looking at this whole thing now in a vicarious way, as if it were just some fun story that I'm reading, okay? I recognize that were I there in that time and in that place of those executed actions by those soldiers, it would probably traumatize me for the rest of my life. But just reading it, reading the plans of this general, blowing down the doors and killing them at close range with automatic weapons and hand grenades. That sounds pretty good to me. Anybody out there not like that? When are we going to get rocking and rolling on that one? We will find their money and freeze it. We will arrest their front agents. We will operate against their recruiting and transportation functions. We will locate their training areas and surveil or mine them. We will isolate them from their families. We will try to dominate their communication function and alternately listen, jam, or spoof it. We will make their couriers disappear. If we can find out how they eat or play or receive rewards or where they sleep, we will go there and kill them by surprise. He said the military components would be a supporting but lesser aspect of a strategy that will be based fundamentally on diplomatic and economic leverage to compel cooperation with international law. All of that sounds fantastic. Let's get going. Let's do it. I just saw on the news today, it won't be for a few weeks. By the way, Barry Bonds is at 69 home runs. You know, it's interesting. Bonds has been pitched around over the last few days. I don't know what it is. Nobody's given him anything to hit. Well, yes, they are. See, he's been walked a lot, but he got struck out yesterday. He got struck out on a series of 95-mile-per-hour fastballs. 95-mile-per-hour fastballs. Did I say that right? So Bonds is getting some stuff to hit. He had a single in yesterday's game, had a hit, but he was walked a couple of times. So it ain't like they're pitching around him 100%. It ain't like he ain't getting dished up some stuff that he can at least put the wood on it, okay? And he's at 69 homers, and he's got four games to hit two home runs. Do you think he will do it? Craig Taylor. Yeah, he doesn't think so. Here's John. Hi, John. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I was just listening, and then what you're saying about McCaffrey, you know, coming out and saying how, you know, we're going to kill these people in large numbers with no warning at some given time. We're going to kick down the doors and blow them all away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't get me wrong. Like, what they did was horrible, but is that really how America wants to work? Like,
sounds good,
I mean,
to me.
Aren't we supposed to be better than, I mean, that's basically what they did. You know, no warning.
No, that's not what they did. They killed innocent people.
Well, I mean, yeah, you're right. And
they killed to the tune of almost 6,000 innocent people.
Well, are we sure that when we gun down the door, that everyone we kill is going to be entirely guilty?
We're going to be looking as hard as we can to kill guilty people, yeah. This will not be some operation where, oh, well, let's just go kill a whole bunch of innocent people. No, this is a military operation targeting the criminals and those who support those criminals.
Well, I guess you have a lot more confidence in the American government to actually identify these people, you know?
I mean, I do, as a matter of fact. Well, I've always had confidence in our government. I'm a Democrat. Just joking. No, but I have confidence that our government can execute certain things well. I think our military has a good track record. Hello?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah, yeah, I do.
Okay, I guess that's just a point of disagreement because, you know, I'm worried. You know, I think you're right. Like, I think our government should respond and we should do something and these people should be punished. But
punished? Like, you know, you mean not killed. They should just killed or punished?
Who, these people that did this?
Yeah, you think they should be killed?
I don't think they should be summarily executed, like what McCaffrey's talking about.
Why not?
Because that's what America's all about. That's
Do you think that they're going to go with their hands up? Do you think they're going to stick their hands in the air and say, okay, just load us into the chopper, we'll go back to America for trial?
No, maybe they won't. And if
they raise their weapons, then what do?
Then they should be, you know, we should respond.
Should we wait for them to get to their weapons, or should we just go ahead and grease them where they sit?
Unfortunately, like, that's what separates, you know, the government of America from mobsters, is we just don't go in and execute hits on people.
You're wrong. That's not a hit on innocent people. It's the execution of, it's the destruction of soldiers who are aiming to destroy our soldiers. In a war, the other guy wants to kill you as bad as you want to kill him, so you kill him first. It's not police going in and, putting a gun in the ribs of some mafia don slopping down spaghetti.
Okay, basically what McCaffrey is saying we should do is
bust down the door, kill them at close range.
He's not talking about killing people during the act of war. He's talking about going and shooting people basically for their political beliefs.
No, he's talking about shooting people for supporting the act. No, he's not. No, he isn't. He isn't at all. No, he isn't at all, John. And you know he. And you know he's not. You're just calling up to give me an argument because you know he's not.
No, I'm not.
You sound like a bright guy. You know exactly what he's saying. He's saying executing criminals for their murderous act, their murderous assault on our country.
And who decides that these people are criminals? That's what I'm asking.
We do. Basically, we have the evidence collected before the United Nations, the civilized countries of the world, NATO, and the UN have supported us. I mean, it's a world court of public opinion and of public administration, the United Nations. of which these people have decided they'll operate outside of that. That's why the president has not just run off and started blowing people up. We've gone before the UN, we've gone before NATO, we've gone before the Arab states. We have conducted ourselves in about as civilized and as restrained a way as people who've just had 6,000 of their citizens slaughtered could possibly behave. I'm proud of the way our country has restrained itself so far. I'm proud of the way the president is going about building this coalition. I don't know that he could. What more can this guy do?
I agree with you. I think he's done a great job so far.
And these guys, the Taliban regime, they've said they don't want to turn him over, you know.
I just hope that continues. And when people like McCaffrey come out and start talking about, and I think it's sad that in America we're getting excited. I understand.
Oh, I'm totally jazzed at the prospect of having these people machine gunned in their beds. I love it. I love it.
So what is that going to do? So
well, that will do is what is as he said. It will disrupt their organizational structure. It will disrupt the ranks of their soldiers. It will disrupt their organization. Period. So that they cannot be as effective murderers as they used to be.
Can I just say one thing? I just want to make one.
Without me saying anything. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, just you got to think too. So you know, we're obviously. Justifiably, you know, people are upset. 6,000 innocent people killed. It was a horrible thing, and the people who did it are disgusting murderers. So now we're all excited about going and shooting these people, you know, and getting some revenge.
Right.
Well, from the people that did this and the people that agree with them, from their point of view, we go and shoot these people, annihilate them. We're not going to get them all. What's that going to do to the people that are left?
We're going to have to go get them, too.
And where is this going to go?
You know where it's going to go, John? It's going to be a long, protracted war. It's called war, baby. Good God, y'all. What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Say it again. It's a war. It's a war. They shoot ours. We shoot theirs. We go back and forth. Hopefully we can end it fast. I don't think it's going to happen that way. And do I look forward to the day that our guys go in and begin to exact the coup de grace when the sons of America go and apply the coup de grace to these scum? You better believe I'm looking forward to that day. Does that make me a rotten, horrible person? Blood in my eyes? Ice water in my vein? I don't know what the hell it makes me. I don't know. It makes me someone who is angry but is trying to be as civilized as he can. I support everything that the government's done, everything our country has done in terms of its economic and its diplomatic maneuvering. I think we have done exactly what people who... Now, don't act too hasty. Let's act with restraint. Okay, we'll be restrained. How much more restrained would you like us to be? It makes me an American, that's all. It just makes me a guy born here and raised on John Wayne movies, I guess. But the day is going to come when the sons and daughters of America apply the coup de grace to these guys. And I don't care if it's a pistol to the back of the head, if they want to come quietly, or they got to toss a hand grenade in there. I don't care. We have presented the evidence before the opinion of the World Court of Opinion. We presented the evidence to the United Nations, to NATO. We've given it to Pakistan. I guess the Taliban wants us to turn it over to them, too, huh? You know what? Those clowns wouldn't even be able to read it. They'd be reading it upside down. We give what we got to the Taliban, they'd be wiping their rear ends in it. They'd be smoking it. They wouldn't know what it is. That's about how bright those guys are. We gave it to the Pakistanis. That's as close as it's going to get to the Taliban. And the Pakistanis have said that we got these cats dead to rights. So what more do you need? President Bush says we'll do it on our time. He's doing it slowly. He's doing it methodically. You can't find fault with what this cat's doing. I'd love to, but I can't and I won't, and I'm not going to do it gratuitously. And when this guy McCaffrey says we're going to disrupt these people through preemptive attack, we will deceive them, we will run psyops on them at selected points and times, they will be killed suddenly in significant numbers and without warning, I gotta say, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, brother. We didn't ask for it. We didn't want it. You can argue and debate all you want about the erroneous public foreign policy that has drawn us into this horrible situation, and I would agree with you until the cows come home. You're right. We have screwed up in how we've related to the world. But the fact of the matter is, we got a job to do now, and the job is we got to make our country safe. We got to defend our country. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I mean, if you find Bin Laden and you have a chance of bringing the guy back to the United States alive or back to some neutral court administered by the United Nations, then that's cool if you can do that. But if you can't, you kill him right where you find him. And the reason why you do that is because there ain't a chance. There ain't nobody that believes that there's a chance that any court in a country that had harbored the guy or that sympathizes with the guy is going to give him some kind of a trial that is going to have anything whatsoever to do with a, you know, an impartial view of the evidence. They're going to do is it's just going to be some long, drawn-out extradition process or some long, drawn-out situation where, you know, they got to weigh the evidence. All kinds of baloney, man. Just ice the guy where you find him. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Here's Robert on the Phil Henry Show. Hello. Robert, hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Phil. How you doing?
Fine.
Tonight's the first night I've heard your radio show, and I really enjoyed it.
Thanks.
Listen, I had heard today at work, a co-worker was telling me about there was some sort of protest or demonstration in Kansas City by hardline Muslim demonstrators, and they were chanting anti-American things about how we would be widowed and orphaned and all this stuff if we attacked any Muslim country associated with Bin Laden or something of the sort.
Did you hear about that, Mike, some Kansas City demonstration? Well, I don't know. We've been on the air for an hour or so, 2 hours.
Yeah, this was earlier this morning. So I work 12-hour shifts, so I didn't get quite a chance to hear the whole story. I hadn't been able to.
All right, so what if they did? What if they did?
Well, you know, where do we draw the line? You know, I also
public demonstration.
I work.
Public demonstration.
Are you still there?
Where do you draw the line? Yeah, I'm here. Okay,
yeah.
You're not. Public demonstration is a protected right in the United States. I don't know what the hell the guy's talking about. 1-800-449, what? They do have a right to piss you off, man. They just don't have a right to, like, blow you up. Here is Craig on the Phil Henry Show. Hello?
Hello, how you doing?
Oh, hold on for a minute, okay? I got to go to somebody else. Deborah. Go ahead, Deborah. You're in Kansas City. Was there a bunch of people going crazy there?
I have to say, I don't know for sure.
Okay.
There's always a bunch of crazy people, right?
Okay, yeah.
Well, my point is, I think people should support America no matter what we have to do at this time. And if they don't, then they don't support America.
Well, not no matter what they have to do, as long as it's legal.
Right, absolutely.
I mean, in other words, I don't want to see the Gestapo move into your house and start monitoring what you're cooking for breakfast.
Right.
But nobody's proposing that.
Right, absolutely.
You know?
No, I'm agreeing with you, and I think they need to support America. Everyone should.
All right. Well, they're not gonna, not all of them. We can't get 100% unanimity on this thing.
No, but why?
It's America, because there's 280 million of us, you know.
Right.
There's
not
a chance. Yeah, you know, I mean, like, there's always going to be Oregon, you know. I mean, I'm kidding for you, my fine friends there in Oregon. Okay, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Hold on.